Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. 104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
That was an awesome game last night. It was awesome. And I'm not a, you know, gargantuan Philip Rivers fan, not like Alfred. Alfred, oh my God, I think he's got a poster of Philip Rivers. I'm not going to lie, I love watching Patrick Mahomes play football. Not that I'm a Chiefs fan. But, wow. So many incredible moments, and down by two scores. Does this ring any bells in the fourth quarter? You score with about 3.5 to go. Got to get the ball back. I think the Chargers had one timeout. Got to get the ball back, and they were able to do it. And the Broncos could not do that against the 49ers. And the Chargers were able to do it. And once they got the ball back, so many, I mean, you can't do anything if you don't get the ball back. Can't do a darn thing. So your defense, no matter what has happened, your defense on that drive has to stand up. And they did.
What an incredible game.
And then Philip Rivers on that fourth down. That pass on that fourth down. I mean, we're talking about just fractions of inches. Milli inches. It's probably something else besides milli inches. Micro inches.
The anticipation of the throw, I think, was even better than the throw.
Just ridiculous. Now, the refereeing in that game was just
questionable.
Brutal. Because you're just ruining the flow and the feel of just everything. So many silly ticky-tack penalties. Just absolutely ridiculous. Well, let's just get over that, I suppose. Because that did kind of go both ways. It just seems like the referees are, every third down, we're going to call a penalty. No matter what, it's going to be a penalty on third down. It seemed ridiculous. The Chargers score that touchdown to tie it up, and then they go for two. The same situation Ron Rivera got just brutalized on for his decision to go for two. Your guy Anthony looks like a genius, right? Go for two on the road, you got a shot, because the play worked. The play was unbelievable. I've never seen somebody so wide open on a two-point conversion to win a game. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to go for two in a case like that, right? So congratulations to the Chargers. The Chiefs, too, are so entertaining to watch out. So, you know, nothing necessarily against them. Although, you know, geez, the game's in your hands, man. You got to finish that sucker off. You got a two-score lead. You got to put your foot on the pedal a little bit, don't you? And their defense, we've said it all year, the Chiefs' defense is, you know, they're okay. They're not great. Their quarterback is great. Could this be the year for Philip Rivers, finally? Now, the situation is the Chiefs do own the tiebreaker, Al. So it's not enough for the Chiefs and the Chargers, or not enough for the Chargers to be tied with the Chiefs at the end of the year. They've got to get them by a game, which is going to be a tall order. But we'll see. We'll see how the rest of it plays out. And the irony may be the Chargers very well may have the second best record in the AFC and end up the fifth seed. I mean, that could definitely happen.
There's nothing wrong with a home playoff game.
Well, they wouldn't have one in that case.
Yeah, they would.
As the fifth seed? How?
Yeah. Wait a minute. As a fifth seed, they would have to go on the road because they would have to play.
They'd be a wild card road
wild
team.
Wild card weekend.
Yeah.
There'd be a weekend game on the road. Been there, done that. But I want to say, what I do want to say is that what we saw last night is what we have to see for the bare minimum 3 or 4 more years. Until we have quarterback play like that, don't think about the Broncos going to the playoffs, because that's what you're going to see for at least the next 3 years, because I don't think Philip Rivers is going anywhere. And for all of those people out there who may have thought that Phillip Rivers was done and he's not a good quarterback, or that Trevor Siemian was a better quarterback than Phillip Rivers last year. There you go. That guy is a money player. He is a money player, and he loves playing against competition. He loves going into your stadium and getting a dub. That guy is a special quarterback. He is a Hall of Famer, and that's the kind of guy we need to draft and develop around here in Denver. A guy who understands defenses, can make the tough throws, can put you in the right plays, and is unafraid of the moment. That is what we saw out of Phillip Rivers last night. And all we saw out of Kansas City Chiefs is that they couldn't muster a first down when the game was on the line.
Neither could. Well,
when the game was on.
Yeah, San Fran did. That's right. San Fran got two of them.
That's right.
The Chiefs couldn't figure it out at all.
They couldn't figure out a way to get a first down to salt the game away. But that is the level of quarterback play that we'll have to see, you know, for a long time in the AFC West. Right now, as far as QBR goes, Patrick Mahomes is number two to Drew Brees. Phillip Rivers is number three. Excellent quarterback play in the AFC West. That's what you got to deal with. That's what you have to deal with every single year for at least the next 3 years with Patrick Mahomes, the next 14. Some of those throws and arm angles that he threw the ball with last night, they were just amazing. Just unbelievable. Now, his receivers let him down at times. Tyreek Hill jumped off sides and then had the ball go off his helmet, like Jose Canseco, as Troy Aikman would say. It was astonishing to see the level of speed and accuracy of the quarterbacks that were on display last night. And you have to look at it and say, wow. If that's what we have to deal with, that's why we have to be extreme in our observation of what to do with our most talented players to go find a guy that can compete like that. It was beautiful. It was what every football fan needed on a Thursday night to get them going for the weekend. That
shotgun
was
snap,
what we
Rivers
needed.
Rolls to the right, throws to the end zone, caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28.
Great game, man.
Just stunning.
Just great game. Great
stunning.
Game. It felt right. Going into that game last night, and for some reason, I didn't push save on my picks. And I said it last night. The Chargers...
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't put... None of my picks went... Because I didn't hit save.
Well, then it defaults to the home team.
Right. So
you lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only Zach and Orlando got it right last night.
Of course Zach got it right.
We talked about it last night before the game, and I said, well, the Chargers are sixth in offense in the NFL, and they were eighth in defense. Knowing that the Kansas City Chiefs were number one and their defense was 30th, I'm picking the team that's most complete. And sure enough, when the game was on the line, the most complete team won.
Now, here's an interesting twist for that Broncos-Chargers game, final game of the year. The Chiefs play the Raiders early in the day. So, now, if the Chiefs lose again next weekend, there's no doubt the Chargers and the Broncos game will be a huge deal. However, if the Chiefs manage to win next week and the week after, the game actually, no matter what the Chargers record is, and they could be, they could win again. They could be 12-3. It doesn't matter. The game won't matter to them. They'll have the fifth seed no matter what. There's nothing they can do. So it sets up a very quirky circumstance for what they do. And if the Chargers, if the Chiefs don't lose, like if the Chargers have nothing to gain, well, then, gee whiz, why, if you were Anthony Lynn, would you play anybody? Why wouldn't you take that as a virtual bye week and try to get yourself ready for a road playoff game? Very weird. We won't know. And the funny part that is Anthony Lynn will have to make his decision right up until kickoff.
No, and I think in that situation, he is a guy who has been part of championship teams with the 49ers and the Denver Broncos. So he understands what this is. I mean, that last game is one that is if it's already decided, you don't put your team out there and put them at risk.
You wouldn't think so.
No, that's not. That's not the way you look at it.
Now,
when this is really the Chargers Super Bowl window, this is the Chargers Super Bowl window.
Yeah, why would you take some sort of ridiculous chance on a meaningless game?
Right. We've been talking about how the the Kansas City Chiefs, it's their window, and we all understand the Steelers and the Patriots. But once again, the great Philip Rivers. That team is a great team. How about this? Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs were held to the lowest yards passing that they've had this entire year. But it's slightly better than our average with Case Keenum. 243 is all that Patrick Mahomes threw the ball for last night. How about that?
Okay.
I mean, that
still sounds pretty good.
Sounds like a decent game. I mean, two interceptions and an offsides and a drop touchdown. But
yeah, right.
You know, when the game was on the line, you know, Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs offense couldn't get it done.
Who dropped that pass?
Oh, it was Tyreek Hill. It was right off the helmet.
Right.
I mean, right off the helmet. But it was such a compelling game. Yeah, you know, I watched the game with a couple of buddies at one of our favorite restaurants in town, and
yeah,
we sat there and I told them, I said, when they were down 14 and the Chargers had the ball, I said, the Chargers are going to win this game. You gave that guy way too much time. The defense is way too good, and in the end, the Chiefs got three first downs on penalties on the drive that led to the 28 point. The last touchdown that they had to give them 28 points. Take away those penalties and they're off the field anyway. So, yeah, they were aided last night by the referees, but in the end, the road team got it done. And the defense ended up coming up big for the Chargers. And their defense has been coming up big all year. They're the eighth defense in the NFL. So, look out, NFL playoffs. It's going to be fun.
I can tell who you're rooting for.
I'm always pulling for Philip Rivers. I love his energy. I love the way that he attacks the game. I love the way that he looks at the game. Not very mobile. A guy that's in the pocket, not going to make the play, usually with his legs. But after the game, did you see what happened after the game? Running off the field, Philip Rivers is waving to all the Kansas City Chiefs fans.
He's a smack talker.
Hey, man, I love that guy. I love that. You don't love that?
I don't know.
You know you love it. Look at the smile. You know you love it.
I love great competitors, and he's definitely a great competitor.
Right. So, love that about him, man.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so what... the victor goes the spoils.
That's right.
Boo!
That's right.
Boo!
I remember
Philip Rivers has said over the years, he loves playing in Denver. Loves it because he feeds off that energy. Like, that doesn't bother him whatsoever. Remember the classic Peyton Manning yelling at the scoreboard operator thing? Philip Rivers was asked about it. He said, "Oh, I don't mind that stuff at all." Peyton just thought it was in poor form. Didn't bother Philip Rivers. Did you like the OT going? Going for the 2-point conversion.
Absolutely, I called it. I called it before the touchdown. I say touchdown, 2-point. Get out of there. That's it. But here's a big one, man. Here's a big one. Next Sunday, the Kansas City Chiefs have to play the Seahawks, who are surging. It could lead to a loss for the Kansas City Chiefs, dropping them into the wild card position if the Chargers win.
Yeah, possibly.
Then that makes that last game against the Broncos.
Who do the Chargers play?
Hold on 1 second. It's not that big of a...
I don't know if it's... Oh, it's not that tough? I can look it up too here.
Oh, they play the Ravens. Oof.
Oh, well, that's pretty tough. Oof. So no easy road for either team.
No. Next week means a lot to both teams. If both teams win... Doesn't matter. And you know what? And the Chargers will know what they need to do. The Chargers will know what they need to do when by the time they play next Sunday, because they play the night game next Sunday against the Ravens, and the Chiefs play, oh my goodness, they play at the same time. How can that be? One is Sunday and one is Saturday. Wow.
I guess that's how it can be.
Right, that's how it can be.
Thank you.
So Saturday is the Chargers and Ravens, and Sunday is the Chiefs and Seahawks.
You know,
wow.
You know what I heard? Is that Philip Rivers' wife was so excited another kid came out after that 2-point conversion.
I really like that guy.
All the times
that we have conversations and I'm like, you know what, man, I would love to trade for Philip Rivers to get him in a Bronco uniform.
Oh, stop.
How many pushbacks do I get? Everybody says no.
When we were talking about this spring, I was all on board with you on that because there was a vibe that he wasn't happy about going to Los Angeles.
Driving from San Diego to Los Angeles every day.
And I said to you, I was all down for it. This is before Case Keenum. I was like, you know what? Great point. Maybe there's some wiggle room. Maybe they'll want to bring a new quarterback to christen the new blah, blah, blah. And I'd agree with you. 2 years ago,
They're never going to get rid of Philip Rivers.
No. Maybe they might have thought of it then.
No.
But no way now. Are you kidding? Now, let me give you some good news, Broncos fans. Last year, the Los Angeles Chargers were 3-6, and they went 6-1, which was a nice springboard to this fantastic season they're having. So, it's not like this can't be done, and the Broncos right now are 3-1 since being 3-6. I'm just pointing it out there.
I mean, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback, dude.
If the Broncos can get it together in these last three games, they will be in the same exact situation as the Chargers were last year. Okay? I'm trying to give a little hope. Now, they would have to win three straight games. You can't tell me if the Broncos didn't win three straight games, people would be feeling, you know, pretty happy about that. I mean, it would, you know, you're not in the playoffs, but you're still in a pretty, you know, good mood. That's what the Chargers did. They took that 3-6 and they 6-1.
17-4 up to this point.
If the Broncos
17-4 up to this point.
That's pretty cool, right?
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay. All right. What else though?
Great defense.
Do we not have the Broncos? Not have a great defense?
Or the potential of
a great defense?
We're gonna need help at corner.
What was the number one addition to the Los Angeles Chargers?
Chargers. Antonio Gates came back.
Okay, but that wasn't their first round pick. I'm setting you up for your guy.
Derwin James.
Derwin James. Although he didn't.
He have a great game last night.
Isn't he hurt?
Denzel
Ward's hurt. Sorry, Denzel
Ward.
But Derwin James has been a fantastic player for them, as Bradley Chubb's been a fantastic player for the Broncos. It can be done. They're playing, their offensive linemen are Broncos cast-offs. Russell Okung and Michael Schofield. It can be done. Now, if you want to say, well, listen, you got to have a Hall of Fame potential quarterback, it's a pretty solid argument. So if you want to open the door to Joe Flacco, what's Joe Flacco?
That's right.
I mean, he's by far the most Philip Rivers-like possible available quarterback next year, correct?
Right.
So if you really believe in this team next year, then go after Joe Flacco. Case Keenum would make a fine backup there in Baltimore. Case Keenum would be a perfect backup in Baltimore.
Then at least we would have the firepower to go against these other AFC West teams if you're thinking about making a run now.
It's not a bad thought.
That's what you got to play against, man. That's your competition that you saw last night.
And if it doesn't work out with Joe Flacco, then you do the same thing to Joe Flacco Baltimore did. You draft a quarterback in 2020, and tough luck for Joe Flacco. But if you want to make an argument about an aggressive move the Broncos could make that does not involve drafting a quarterback in the first round because it's not a great quarterback class this year, it's getting Joe Flacco. Give me somebody else that's more Philip Riversy than Joe Flacco that could possibly be attainable.
Maybe Derek Carr.
Maybe, but that's a little tricky within the division, though, and you got to admit that.
What do you mean?
Most teams don't do trades within the division
right,
like that.
Unless you believe the guy has done. If you believe the guy is done, then... You know.
Could be right, though. I don't think it will happen with Derek Carr because there's not such an obvious replacement. In Baltimore, there's an obvious replacement. Who's the obvious replacement in Oakland?
There's not one. There's no one obvious.
So, but
you know, they'll have a top three pick, which means that they can get a quarterback.
All right, besides Derek Carr, and even he's kind of a stretch, who else?
That's it.
Kind of. But the Joe Flacco deal, you can do. I would think you could do.
Third rounder?
Yeah. How about swapping quarterbacks in a third rounder?
You don't have to swap. That room becomes a much better room.
Well, there's no reason to keep Case Keenum around if you got Joe Flacco.
Right.
I mean, who cares about Case Keenum at that point? You do whatever. You try to trade Case Keenum for, I don't know, you traded Trevor Siemian. Somehow you got value out of that. Somehow. A third rounder for Joe Flacco. That's a no-brainer.
You know what? I can almost see the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, opening up the bank and saying, you know what? That's who we need.
I can see it, too. There would be a lot of teams that would love to have Joe Flacco in that situation.
Can you imagine a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars with a big, athletic, strong-arm quarterback like Joe Flacco?
The situation with Flacco reminds me a lot of when Drew Bledsoe went to the Bills, meaning there's value there. Not a ton of years, but this young and upcoming guy is going to be our guy. Who wants Drew Bledsoe? Well, Drew Bledsoe went to the Bills, and he played well for the Bills. They had good teams with Drew Bledsoe. Not as good as the Patriots, obviously. Tough division. But it's not like the Bills did not get themselves a good quarterback for a couple years. It's just that they couldn't develop anybody underneath him. You know, they kind of stopped there. This is almost an identical situation to that. And they'll probably be, who else would want him? Tampa Bay might want him. Jacksonville would
Tampa
definitely
Bay's
want
not
him.
Close. Jacksonville is close.
Well,
Jacksonville
it doesn't matter if they're close. It's their situation. Everybody thinks they're close if they just had a quarterback. I'm just talking about teams that are in a tough situation with quarterbacks. And what is Tampa Bay going to do?
The Giants.
Giants are another one. Yep, good one. Good call.
The Giants will be in this conversation for Joe Flacco.
Yep.
I think that's how about the Jets?
No, they're committed to Darnold.
No, you're right. Jaguars, Giants.
Jaguars, Buccaneers, Giants, Broncos. Who else? But that's four teams right there. That's a lot. That's a good situation for Baltimore. Baltimore would be crazy not to deal Flacco because his value is really high.
You know the team that another NFC team that could use Joe Flacco? He doesn't have to go very far. The Washington Redskins. We don't know what's happening.
You don't think they're committed? Oh, with Alex Smith's injury?
Oh, Alex Smith.
That's a good one. Five.
We don't
there
know
you go.
What's going to happen there.
Agree. Five.
As you can see, the quarterback market is going to be a lot more saturated than we thought it was going into this year's NFL draft.
But if you want to make the argument that, hey, the Chargers were 3-6, they went 6-1, and look at where they are now. You do make a strong argument that you don't have to wait and develop a quarterback if you can get a quarterback, specifically Joe Flacco.
If you want to win the AFC West, you got to have the same kind of firepower.
Now, what I really love about that is it does set you up in 2020 to still, you know, draft the quarterback of the future. You don't have to panic in 2019. So I actually, Al, can I tell you this? I love that idea. I love that idea because the worst case scenario really isn't that bad. The worst case scenario is it doesn't really work out, and we're drafting a quarterback anyways, and a much stronger, deeper quarterback class in 2020. So I love that idea. Love that idea. And I think looking at Philip Rivers last night would make other people realize, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Low risk.
I think he's going to be traded.
High reward.
NFC team unless... It's got to go to an NFC team, right? Would you trade Joe Flacco to an AFC team?
That would not be my first choice. So you're right. So right, if the Bucks or the Redskins really come calling, or the Giants, yeah. So another, I mean, it's kind of a bummer for Broncos fans because you see what the competition is like for a guy like Flacco. But you got to give it a shot, right? You got to try.
You got to give it a run.
Got to give it a run.
You got to give it a run. If you got to go to a second round guy, go to a second round guy to get him.
You know, you could say, well, Case Keenum got you to an NFC championship game. Yeah, luckily. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying Joe Flacco is the greatest quarterback in the world, but he does resemble a Philip Rivers type of talent. So there you go. You got a lesson last night in terms of what could happen in the future if you really want to turn it around. And I like that idea, too, because I just don't believe in Drew Locke or Dwayne Haskins or Justin Herbert. Mm. You know, I just don't see it. I don't see it. And by the way, I've been looking at mocks left and right. I don't see any other names except those three, by the way, in the first round.
No.
Do you?
No.
You don't see Shea Patterson or...
No.
Who? Will Greer. I'm not... Well, maybe Will Greer every now and then.
No, no. No.
Kyler Murray, I think, is unbelievable, but he's going to go play baseball.
I'm telling you, the quarterback, I mean, it felt like, okay, we could just take the top of the quarterback class this year because, you know, most teams have their quarterback. But I don't even know what's going on with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have no idea what's going on there. Would they do something ridiculous and try to blow out Jameis Winston?
Yeah, but I would take Flacco over Winston, wouldn't you?
No, I'm just saying, but, they may be in a situation where they want to draft another quarterback.
Yeah, I've seen that in a bunch of places.
That would be nuts.
Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Joe Flacco?
I would rather have Jameis Winston. I drafted him.
If I'm the Broncos, you know, a player like Winston would be kind of interesting in that same exact scenario, like, hey, we'll go for it for a year, see what we got, and we're going to draft a quarterback in 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be okay with that, too.
But just 3 weeks ago, everybody was like, no on Jameis Winston. And I was like, yes on Jameis Winston.
All right, Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Story number one, I'm going to go to the Pro Bowl situation, Al. Broncos in top 10 Pro Bowl voting per position. Andy Janovich moves up to number 8. Who knew there were 7 other fullbacks in the National Football, in the AFC? Von Miller, number 2 amongst outside linebackers. Bradley Chubb is number 5. Very nice, but that's it. Philip Lindsay and Chris Harris are not in the top 10. How do you feel about that?
I think Philip Lindsay not being in the top 10 is wrong. Certainly Chris Harris belongs in the top 5. He's had a terrific year, but he's been injured here of late. Maybe they are... looking at it that way, you know, but Jalen Ramsey has a big mouth over there on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, the teams that are winning and playing well, those guys that are on those teams, well, they usually get those votes, D-Max. So,
who's getting the worst deal?
Well, I think of the guys that's not in the top 10, I would say that Philip Lindsay is.
Yeah, I mean, who are free running backs better than Philip Lindsay in the AFC? Hard to think of it. Bongos.
Three. It's funny that you say that. Is Kareem Hunt on that list?
Hell no, buddy.
He's not.
He's outsie. He's nowhere close. He's on the commissioner exempt list.
But he's not on the Pro Bowl.
He got cut by the.
I know, but I mean, he still could have votes, though. That's what I'm saying.
You got to be on a team to make the Pro Bowl.
No, I'm just you.
Sticky rules.
All right. Let me ask you this: looking at that game last night and seeing that environment in Kansas City. I long for those moments for us again. How long before we have meaningful games in December again?
Well, so you're saying this game on Saturday is not meaningful at all?
No, I don't believe it will be because there needs to be too much to happen for it to happen.
Next year. Listen, you only have to be 7-6 to have meaningful games in December. I mean, you have to be just a slightly above a 500 team to have meaningful games in December. So, I don't know, man. I mean, what am I supposed to think, that the Broncos won't be 7-6 next year? I mean, I think every team should be 7-6. Don't you? Like, what team goes into the season thinking, oh, man, 7-6? Well, I don't know. Shit, I don't think we can do that. Nobody does that.
Right.
Next year, Alfred, next year.
Okay, I like that. I like the optimism.
Three.
I can go with it.
Kyler Murray, Al. Is there anything that can be done to get Kyler Murray to the NFL? Is there any scenario you can imagine?
Draft him in the first round.
And can you imagine any team taking that risk with him? And who would it be?
It'd have to be a team, first of all, that needs a quarterback.
Can I throw a wild one out at you?
Go ahead.
What about the Patriots?
Who's their coordinator?
Josh McDaniels.
I thought he was going to be the head coach of the Packers.
Could you see Bill Belichick taking a roll of the dice on something like that?
Yes. He had Tim Tebow in training camp.
Yeah. Well, and Kyler Murray is a much better quarterback than Tim Tebow. But doesn't that feel like a Patriots sort of first-round move? They're drafting
late,
30,
really, really
29,
late,
right. You know, something like that. And Brady's 42 next year. I mean, it's going to end at some point. But I think you probably get 2 more years out of Tom Brady. Wouldn't that be a pretty exciting thing for the Patriots to do? If you were the Patriots, why wouldn't you do that?
You're right. I liked it. I like that.
Murray make that choice. Bongos.
Three.
Last night on one catch, Travis Kelce went over the 1,200-yard receiving mark, triggering a $375,000 incentive.
Good for Travis Kelce.
The incentive doubles because the Chiefs made the playoffs.
Ah.
Great catch, homie.
Nice.
On one catch last night, Travis Kelce made $750,000.
That's pretty awesome.
That guy is a hell of a tight end. I can't wait for the playoffs. I'm telling you, man, I am so jacked up. I can't wait for the playoffs.
It should be
to
really
start.
Exciting.
By the way, what's happening in the AFC.
On that tight end note, it was entertaining to see Antonio Gates catch a pass late in the game, and he's
awesome.
It's not the fittest Antonio Gates in the world, but he gets
still
it done.
Uncoverable.
He's a wide body. Ain't no doubt about it. It's not going to burn anybody, but he's still Antonio Gates.
He still gets open.
Let me ask you this. Is Rob Gronkowski done?
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Can't move anymore, right?
Can't tackle.
Bongos.
Three!
You gotta reach the guy. You gotta get there in order to tackle.
But I think that Gronk can end up having a 1,000-yard season. And
you don't think he's done? I think he might be done.
I think that when you're that big, you understand how to run routes.
It's just, I just don't know why he would want it anymore.
Oh, you're saying in general?
I think just in general. I think he's just he's broken down. It's kind of hard to watch a little
bit.
Has
his body of work led to a Hall of Fame induction already?
Absolutely. In my mind, yeah, it's a slam dunk. All right, when we come back, the Browns. What does this game mean in general? After watching what we saw last night, I have a sinking suspicion that most fans actually want the Broncos to lose. Details next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and T-Mac.
There's times when I want something more, someone more like me. There's times when this dress rehearsal seems incomplete.
When I look at this Browns game, Al.
Colors in me like
it's not like the Browns are like the greatest team in the world for sure. It's just that I can't put my finger on the motivation for the Broncos these days. The Browns aren't a juggernaut by any stretch. But for them, winning 5 games and tying 1, is such a massive improvement over where they've been for the past couple of years. And Denzel Ward not playing for them. Denzel Ward not playing for them. He's out. So I'm looking at what they do best, and you know, nothing just jumps off the page. What do you think the Browns do better, or what do you think is their like stamp? Like, this is what we do. Here's who we are. Here's what's special about us.
I think they're, you know, every game that I look at of an opponent, I'm looking for chunk plays. They're good at chunk plays. They are good at 20 plus or more in the passing game and 10 yards or more a rush in the rushing game. They're a good football team that is playing with great confidence. And I think, you know, since they got rid of Hugh Jackson, they really have played with a more consistent brand of football. So, yeah, I think that they are a lot better than the name suggests. The name suggests that we should smash these guys, but that's not the case.
What's impressive, like, we faced the 49ers. The 49ers had two interceptions. Two! The Browns are third in the league with 15. So they put pressure on the quarterback, and they force mistakes, and they've got a talented secondary, although Denzel Ward is out. So that's a good thing. They're also very proficient in the red zone, where the Broncos struggle, 17th in the league. The Browns are fourth in the league in the red zone, which, of course, is high marks for your quarterback, right, when you can do that well. But they're not great on third down. They're 27th in the league. Broncos are 28th. They have interesting elements, for sure. And Baker Mayfield out, he throws interceptions. Not like Sam Darnold, apparently, at that rate, but, you know, he's thrown some picks. So I don't see a team that on paper would blow away the Broncos, but they got some good elements, that's for sure.
Here's the explosive plays for Cleveland. They have, in Cleveland, 63 explosive runs. Okay? The Denver Broncos have 36. And on the pass side, DMAC, this is a group that doesn't mind taking shots. That is crazy. That when you think about the Cleveland Browns, nobody thinks about them being able to run the football with explosive plays. But as it stands right now, that's who they are.
Yeah, and they're not a pass-first team either, by the way. They are definitely a run-first, grind-it-out sort of team, and then they go from there. The thing that's remarkable in general is Baker Mayfield's accuracy is through the roof. So when they do decide to pass, then it usually works out. And obviously it's been working out when they do get into the red zone. Now, let me ask you this.
And a guy that we wanted around here for the running back position is their starting running back in Nick Chubb.
Yeah, he's doing good, but Philip Lindsay's doing better.
Philip Lindsay is having a great year.
So no big deal there. He's good, though. He's really good. He's really good.
He's big. He's fast. He's got great balance.
But we're really good in that position as well.
Yeah, we're good there.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. Teams are allowed to have good players. It happens. I mean, in all honesty, if you can't find a good running back, I mean, look at the Chiefs last night. They looked fine run the ball. And they're without Kareem Hunt. What did the Chiefs do last night? Look at it real quick. Yeah, here it is. Looked pretty effective to me, and I'm just... Yeah, Damian Williams, 4.9. Eh, not so great, I guess. They only had 60 rushing yards. So maybe not so great, actually. They probably could have used Kareem Hunt. Yeah, a little bit more balance over there with the Chargers, huh? But look at the Chargers, too. I mean, who's running the ball for them? Who are these guys? They kind of fall off trees sometimes, running backs. You don't kill yourself. You can always find a good running back.
You should be able to find a solid running back.
You should, yes. That's not the hardest thing to do.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this more complicated
Special
question.
Special is harder to do, but solid, when you have more than 100-plus Division I colleges and Division II colleges,
right.
you should be able to find at least one 2-3 extra running backs who are solid after your start.
There's a lot of guys who are 5'11", 220 that can run a 4-4.
Not that.
4-5?
Maybe 4-6. He ran a 4-6.
Al.
4-6.
Do you think Broncos fans, deep down, want the Broncos to win this game on Saturday?
I don't know. I almost feel like there is a growing divide between the fan base and their team.
Can I tell you why I asked the question?
And it starts when we get these phone calls and we play these recordings on our airwaves talking about fire Vance Joseph and fire John Elway. And Case Keenum doesn't – it feels like if you just heard the tone of some of the conversations that are had on the phone line and that we play in our commercials, sounds like everybody is mad at – the entire situation.
It feels like the fans have their minds made up about VJ, and further proof of how they feel, which would be losing, would justify their feelings that he should be dismissed. And it makes me wonder, do Broncos fans really even want the Broncos to win anymore this year? Or do you really can't stand Vance Joseph and you just want to see him gone? Which would be so much easier to justify
if you lose to three rookie quarterbacks.
That's right.
You lose to three rookie quarterbacks.
What do you think? Well, we could take calls and stuff about it, but I get the feeling that deep down, Broncos fans actually want to see the Broncos lose these last three games.
You know, if we're not going to make the playoffs, I want the best draft pick we can get. I'm just being honest about it. I don't care about these, you know, the 72ers. I'm sorry. The 72ers will say, we haven't had back-to-back losing seasons. And in my world, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, but what do you think Vance needs to go to keep his job in the last three games?
I don't know. Win all three? Win two? I don't know.
But you can't lose all three.
I don't know. If it was me, I'd be playing the youngest quarterback that I could play. The least experienced quarterback and see who he is. And so I'll know going into.
Well, you have some confidence in your job to do that.
You got to be confident.
It's unlikely that's the case. I don't know. 303-713-1043. This is a weird way to get fired up on a Football Friday, no doubt about it. But is that vibe how you're feeling out there? Football at 4 is next.